Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. For more information, check out ICHA on Facebook. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, Rebecca Sharp will be telling us a little bit about Open Door Columbus. So, can you tell me a little bit about Open Door?
Open Door serves adults with developmental disabilities, and we've been around since the late 1980s. And we started as a result of the deinstitutionalization in Ohio. And from that, we currently serve around 500 individuals in different settings, both residentially and in employment. In transportation and adult day services throughout Central Ohio.
So, how do you go about reaching out to the disability population to let them know about your work?
Usually it's by word of mouth, meeting the individuals that we serve and their families. They have their own little network that they share the positive experiences, and frequently when we're accessing the community and we have the individuals involved in community engagements, the community is reaching out to find out more about our program and sharing it that way, and social media platforms and videos and accessible communications, using closed captioning and sign language and other adaptive communication. To serve those individuals who also maybe have barriers to receiving that information. And in Ohio, we have a county board system. So our county board authorizes the service, and they have a website that folks can go to when accessing, trying to access any type of service.
So when you mentioned it was the result of deinstitutionalization, what are some of the advantages of a program such as yours over an institutional setting?
Lots of individualized care gives them the opportunity to live in their own home, and oftentimes to access community resources, meaning public transportation or other means to access the community through employment. Or, for instance, we have an art studio, a theater program, lots of community engagement, so it gives them that opportunity to do so, and also to connect with those in the community that are not necessarily isolated to a population where only those who have some sort of physical challenge or disability would be residing.
So, in your work, do you ever encounter any myths or misperceptions about intellectual disabilities?
Certainly, many myths. I've heard, like, you guys must be special people to work with such special people. Or, how do you work with people who can't do anything? And those words are very striking, because our folks are very capable of doing many things. And the folks that we support on a daily basis, they are famous artists. They are movie stars. They have the capability to do so much, and are often devalued or misunderstood, thinking that they will never be anything, and that that I would say is the biggest myth or misperception. And also just categorizing them as unable to communicate. A lot of folks will raise their voice or pretend to talk loudly or slowly or those types of things. And our folks can hear and they can communicate, and they're able to communicate and express their own needs, and they do not need others speaking for them. So I would say those are just a few.
So in that sense, do you find that having things like the art gallery you mentioned and these programs help to tear down some of those barriers and present these as intelligent, capable people to the community in a sort of a relatable way?
Certainly. Especially in the creative adventures that we do. Many of our artists have won national awards. They've been recognized even by our governor. One artist in particular had never spoken a verbal word prior, and at the art studio is now writing poetry and full stories that are being purchased by people. So I feel like those opportunities are open through the doors that we provide and the services that are open through those programs. In the theater program in general, we've discovered hidden talents, like folks that played the piano when they were younger and they were institutionalized or put in the system for some reason, like they lost a family member, and that piano skill was lost for many years, and they come to the theater program and they see a piano and they just start breaking out on the piano awesome tunes, and when the community comes in and they view our shows, because they're integrated into the community, and people pay to come to those shows, and they see that, they wouldn't even recognize that those misperceptions and the stereotypes that they once might have had prior exist.
So, in your time with Open Door, is there any individual success story that stands out for you?
Many. Very many. One in particular, we had an individual that we currently serve in our supportive living environment who had went through about 23 different placements, and placements meaning different service providers or institutions or even nursing homes. So sometimes they are put in nursing homes or hospitals just because they're misunderstood or there are things going on in their lives that folks aren't paying attention to. So this one particular individual was told he would never be anything. In fact, during school, he was trying to express himself, and he was put into the bad kids, as he calls it, club, and never had a chance really to break out of that, and was put into an institution, and at the institution tossed around as several. And by the time he moved into one of our facilities originally, explained that he felt like he was nothing, that he had nothing to live for, had a lot of suicidal attempts and different things like that. And we really connected as staff, and he went in the community and he got a job, and the job led to friends. The friends led to him moving out on his own. Moving out on his own allowed him to be able to purchase his own home and his own vehicle, and go to college, and now he's a chef working in the community and has a dream of opening his own food truck pretty soon, and has it named and has a business plan and functions with very little staffing. And when he came to us, we were told he won't stay with you for more than a month, and it's been about 7 years now.
So. I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Certainly.
In this segment of our show, Thomas Merritt will be telling us a little bit about adapted rowing. So, can you tell me a little bit about the adaptive rowing program? I know it's been a while since you've been on.
So the adaptive rowing program is part of the Sudbury Rowing Club, and we work out at the Northern Water Sports Center here in Sudbury, Ontario. I think if I'm doing the math correctly, this coming season, starting in June, this next year will be our 15th year, so we've just wrapped up 14 seasons on the water.
So, in terms of the rowing itself, do you use any modified equipment or techniques for a rower with a disability?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So how do we work with athletes of different abilities? The program has had, you know what, I don't have the math, but it's something like hundreds of athletes over the last 15 years, and with a variety of different needs, whether it's coaching or whether it's equipment, whether it's just more time on the water or more time off the water. And we've done a pretty good job of addressing all of those different needs. So we have a series of different boats. Rowing is based out of boats, and the boat's a big part of how we can adapt rowing to an athlete. So we have boats that are specifically adapted. They'll be wider, a little bit more stable. Oftentimes we put pontoons on if we have athletes that have balance issues, or sometimes just athletes with confidence issues. So an athlete can be physically typical, but just uncomfortable on the water. And the boats are a little tippy. I mean, all boats are a little tippy. And we can put pontoons on the side of the boat to sort of stabilize it and really help an athlete with balance, but also help an athlete that has some sort of confidence issue. Just let them relax, feel comfortable on the boat. It's all about being comfortable on the boat. So whether the athlete has a special need with coaching, we work with a number of athletes, or we have worked with a number of athletes with autism spectrum disorder, and that takes just a different approach to coaching. So sometimes we modify the boat, sometimes we don't. There are two brothers that have rowed with us actually for many years, and one of the brothers physically is very, very, very comfortable on a boat. I'm a little concerned he's more comfortable on a boat than I am, but we just have to coach him a little bit differently. So he uses a very fast, very unstable boat, and he does an amazing job. And then his brother is not quite as comfortable on the boat, and so we use a boat with pontoons. And that athlete often rows with a volunteer in the boat, so we put two people on the boat. We've got boats that are singles, so one person, boats that are doubles, who have two people. And then we have boats that are fours and quads that will have up to four people. And we have had in the past as many as eight people on a boat, and we'll row eight people with a coxswain to steer the boat. So lots of different approaches, whether it's coaching or equipment.
So for someone with something like autism, for example, what are some of the benefits of being out on the water? I'd imagine there's a calming influence and some mental health effects on being out there.
Yeah, so, you know, what are the benefits? Honestly, I think one of the things that I have found as a coach and as a rower over the last 14 or 15 years, the benefits are the same for everybody. And what really differs is what kind of access you have. And one of the biggest issues, I think, for people with disabilities is there are more limited opportunities. And the point of accessible programs like this is to open those opportunities and try to level the playing field a little bit. Can everybody have access to the same things? So I was out on a paddleboard yesterday, and the biggest thing for me was just being outside on the water, feeling that water, that balance, the sounds, the smell, the feel of the water on my feet, on my fingers, I mean, all of those things. And so every athlete should have the opportunity to experience that. And if you're an athlete with autism, you know, you should have the same opportunities. You should be able to get out in a boat and feel that boat, listen to the water, all the things that many of us take for granted because it's something we have easy access to. And so the point of this rowing program, I think the point of every accessible sport program, is to make sure that every athlete has access to those same things. And sometimes it is just the calming effect of being on the water. Sometimes it's the exercise. It's getting out there and getting your heart racing and, you know, really breathing hard, pushing hard. And honestly, one of the biggest things, especially with some of the younger athletes who row with me, is just getting a little bit scared. You know, you get out on a boat and all of a sudden you realize it's a little windier than you expected and the boat bouncing around a little bit. My job as a coach is to make sure that everybody's safe. But sometimes it's also allowing those athletes to get a chance to take a risk. I think very, very often athletes with disabilities are discouraged from taking risks. And if it's an informed risk, if we're doing this as safely as possible, there's no reason that they can't take the same risks that anybody else takes. I want to go out and get in the boat and every now and then get a little bit scared, get my heart rate up there, not just from the exercise, but maybe from the wind and the waves. And one of my jobs as a coach is to give every athlete that opportunity. Sometimes we want to be out in a boat and just relax and be serene, and sometimes we want to be out there and really push ourselves.
So, have you ever done any work with a rower, for example, who has a vision impairment?
Yeah, so vision impairment is a really great one for rowing. You don't want to steer, So usually we've got a couple of people in the boat. So there, one of the challenges with COVID is how do we work with athletes that need to have a volunteer with them? And we found ways to make that work. This summer we had doubly vaccinated athletes, doubly vaccinated coaches, and so we could put them in a boat. So I would often row with an athlete who is visually impaired. She has a fairly profound visual impairment. I would steer. She would set the pace. A lot of rowing is feel and hearing. So you listen to the boat, you feel the boat. So an athlete with a visual impairment, they're oftentimes more used to that. And they're comfortable listening and feeling. And it's often really impressive to just be part of that boat feel with an athlete that's not seeing the water the way that I'm seeing the water, but they're feeling a boat in a way that I can only hope to do.
So, in your time with the Adaptive Rowing Program, is there any success moment that stands out for you?
Yeah. So there are a lot of success moments. When I first started coaching, the first day I had an athlete on the water, I didn't even have a program here. We didn't even have a boat here. We went down to Toronto with the first athlete that was part of this program, and we got her out with another volunteer in a boat for the first time. And the journey for her to get to that point where we could put her in a boat and knowing we were going to be able to do this back in Sudbury, emotionally, it was just overwhelming, and I didn't know any of the other coaches that were part of this, and we were in a boat together, and we got the athlete out, and she started rowing, and I just started to cry. It was just emotionally exhausting, and I didn't know the other coaches. I didn't know how they were going to respond to this, and Allison Sheard was one of the other coaches in the boat. She looked over, she goes, "It's okay. I cry at a lot of practices, too." It can be incredibly emotional. One of the athletes who's now rowed with us for 4 or 5 years, the first time we ever got her out in the water, her mom was standing next to me as this athlete rowed away with one of the volunteers in the double. And it was pretty emotional just to watch that. It had taken a bit to get this athlete into the boat and out there. And her mom was standing next to me sort of quietly, and she looked over and she said, "You know, when my daughter was born, we were told she probably would never walk. And we had just watched her row away in a boat." Those kind of moments are pretty special. I've had an opportunity to work with some really highly competitive athletes. I had an athlete that I coached who went to the Paralympics. There are some amazing success stories, like, you know, carrying an athlete essentially off of a rowing machine at a rowing machine race where she pushed herself so hard she couldn't stand up at the end of the race. So those moments are pretty amazing as a coach. But I think the emotional moments are really the things that make me come back year after year and make sure the program continues on.
I'd thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Absolutely.
Handy Link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Hey, you Windsor students. Are you hungry for more than knowledge? The UWSA Food Pantry is now open to all students with a valid UWindsor ID. We are accepting walk-ins and you no longer have to book an appointment. Located in room 233 of the CAW Student Center next to the UWSA main office, the Food Pantry seeks to take a bite out of food security concerns with food aid assistance. Find us online at foodpantry@uwindsor.ca or give us a call at 519-253-3000 extension 3504. Tuition is rising, costs keep mounting, and you shouldn't have to choose between food, rent, or textbooks. The Campus Food Pantry, located in room 233 of the CAW Student Center.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. For more information, check out ICHA on Facebook. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, Rebecca Sharp told us a little bit about Open Door Columbus, and we heard a little bit about adapted rowing from Thomas Merritt. In this segment of our show, Bassie Shemtov will be telling us a little bit about the Friendship Circle. So, can you tell me a little bit about the work at the Friendship Circle?
Yeah, so back in 1994, my husband and I moved to Michigan. And really, my husband thought of the name Friendship Circle, starting it for those individuals who are struggling with addiction, isolation, and different substance abuse challenges. And within like the first several months, it was, you know, he was the friendship rabbi. That's how it was started. And at that point, it really was not so much my thing. So I was supporting my husband in his work. But he decided to reach out to the community leaders at the time and asked who else really could use friendship. Who else was possibly in isolation in our community? And several people just kept on kind of bringing up the topic of people with special needs, saying that in our community at that point, 27 years ago, that was definitely a need. And so we kind of looked at what we had, the strengths we had, and I really enjoyed working with teenagers. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to inspire teenagers and kind of connect them, pair them up one-on-one with a child with special needs, and that way really giving some respite to the family. You know, realizing that the challenge of having a child with special needs is a 24/7 challenge, and what could we do to help support the family? And that's really how it started. Very simple. My husband and I would pick up a teenager, bring them, drop them off at a family's home, and pick them up a couple hours later, giving the parents some tiny bit of time to hang out together, eat dinner, take a shower, do some laundry, the very basics.
Yeah, go ahead. Just wondering, in your work and reaching out to the communities affected, do you ever encounter any myths or misperceptions about people with special needs or addictions or mental health concerns for that matter?
Constant. Anybody that has not had the privilege to interacting and connecting and having a relationship with a person with special needs, and I would probably say similar for those suffering from addiction. Unfortunately, the natural way is to either pity them or think that they just have a different kind of life, so to speak, because they have that challenge. And the moment we are able to connect a teenager or an adult to step out of their own world and step into the world of a person who has special needs, it's incredible what happens after several times of putting this connection together. And that's actually what our aha moment was. 4 or 5 years into Friendship Circle, we had too many volunteers. And it was the strangest thing. We're like, what? Since when does any nonprofit have too many volunteers? And that's when we realized that we thought we had to convince teens to do this good deed and to volunteer, right? Be kind. Think about a family that has a 24/7 challenge. 4 or 5 years into it, when we had a list of too many volunteers for the amount of kids that we had coming to us for support, we realized that what this individual with special needs has, that incredible, unique soul, what the magnetic personality and what this individual with special needs has and what they were able to give this teenager, no parent, no therapist, no friend, no doctor, nothing was able to give this teenager the incredible connection and feeling that our children or teens who have special needs were able to give them.
That brings up my next question, actually. In your time with the Circle, has there been any success story that stands out for you?
There are too many to say one that stands out. This is a daily occurrence. Just imagine a teenager that, you know, on the surface, everybody sees this teenager as being cool, popular, lots of friends, does very well at school. We'll get into a great school. And I'm thinking of one particular story of this one teen, you know, her family constantly going on vacations, going to the best high school that, you know, one of the best school, you know, a top high school, great friends, really having anything that she really would want from a materialistic point of view. And her family was going during their winter vacation, they were going on a cruise. Well, we have a winter camp that we run for our children with special needs. She insisted in her family allowing her to skip their vacation so she could do our camp and be with her special buddy.
It's amazing. So if you could send any message to the community about why it's important to look beyond the obvious and to get to know others with different abilities, different backgrounds, all that, what would you say?
I would say that you would be doing yourself a real disservice. And in my opinion, raising my children, let's say, and you know, working with hundreds of teens, if we want to give our children a healthy, happy existence, it's when we give them the opportunity and educate them on the importance of meaning and purpose. And there is nothing more that, I mean, being in this world and being a productive person that could actually live in a positive way, which is the only way to live, right, is when we give. And when we fulfill the reason for our existence. If we just go kind of, you know, shy away from doing and connecting and serving our community and society at large, and we're only focused on what, you know, the natural pleasures that come to mind, that's when we're unfortunately seeing the terrible amount of teens that are struggling with anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts. Because when we're not living our life with purpose, it feels like we don't know why we're living. So if we could give our children, and this is not only to support people with special needs or people suffering from addiction, but if we don't find our way to serve and to make this world a better place, then there's really not a chance to have a happy, positive, productive existence. So in our case, in my case, running an organization like Friendship Circle, I get to see firsthand every single day how individuals with special needs have that incredible, unique, pure soul. They are individuals that are only good. They are not bogged down with the mess and the materialism that unfortunately the typical person gets very bogged down by. Individuals with special needs are like the holy souls. They just know, they're just genuine. They just say it the way it is. They just love another person for their true, for them as a real person, not for the things they have and not because of the power they have. They don't get bogged down by that junk, right? So if you could have the opportunity to connect with that individual with special needs, you are going to connect in a deeper way and at a higher level.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
My friends, regardless of the disability, there's nothing worse than the perception that you're facing it all on your own. The idea that loneliness can be its own disability. We allow that to overtake us. No matter what the circumstances, it becomes that much more difficult. That's why I'm always glad to see organizations that reach out to those with addictions, with mental health concerns, or those who just, for whatever reason, aren't easily accepted by society. A person with a disability should be just let in on the basis of being a person. They should be valued and respected for what they have to offer to society. New ideas, new insights, hope, my friends. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.